Well, it's a real privilege to be here this afternoon to witness young Catherine's baptism. There's always a sense of excitement, always a sense of anticipation with a baptism, and that's not just because Catherine's about to get wet and the rest of us are going to stay dry, but it's because of the significance of what baptism means. And it's what this decision means to Catherine as a believer in the Lord Jesus. It's what this decision means to the Lord himself as Catherine is obedient to him in baptism. And it's also about the challenge of witnessing a baptism. There's a challenge here that speaks to each and every person in this room. What is baptism all about? Well, I want to read a passage from God's Word, Acts chapter 8, and we're going to read about someone else's baptism. This baptism took place some 2,000 years ago, and it's a great story. It's about a man from far away, a man from the country of Ethiopia, and he was a pretty important man in his own country. He was a government minister, I suppose, probably the equivalent of the Chancellor of the Exchequer or something like that, and he was sitting in his chariot, and he was reading the Bible, and he didn't understand what he was reading. He didn't understand the Bible. And sometimes the Bible is a difficult book to understand. So anyway, God sent a man by the name of Philip to explain the Bible to this man from Ethiopia. So let's read some verses from Acts chapter 8, and I'm going to read from verse 30. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation, for his life is taken away from the earth?" And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he replied, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when the Spirit And when they come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. Now, to put this story into a modern context, this would be the equivalent of, say, George Osborne, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, sitting in his ministerial Jaguar. And he's reading the Bible in the back of his Jaguar, and someone like me or another Christian comes along and taps on the window and says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" Now, maybe that's not the first time George Osborne's been asked that question, but that's the context. That's what we're thinking about here in Acts chapter 8. What is baptism all about? What is baptism? Well, in a few moments, you're about to witness Catherine be immersed in that tank of water over there. It's just ordinary water. And you're going to watch Catherine be duked under the water and then be brought up out of the water. And it's nothing more than that. That's it. It'll be over very quickly. That's a baptism. Why does Catherine want to be baptized? Why would anyone want to be baptized? Well, Catherine wants to be baptized because she is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. She is a Christian. And quite simply, Jesus commanded all his followers to be baptized. Simple as that. Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said, Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, if you love the Lord Jesus, what he says, what he commands will be very important to you, and you will want to obey him. Catherine loves the Lord Jesus, and she wants to honor him by doing what he says, and therefore she will be baptized in a few moments. Who should be baptized? Well, you read throughout the New Testament, and again, it's very clear. It is believers in the Lord Jesus Christ who are baptized. That is, people who have made a decision at some point in their life to turn from their sin, to repent of their sin, and to put their faith and trust in Jesus, and to give their life to Jesus Christ. And the Bible expects that all such believers should be baptized. Crystal clear, you read through the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, Peter is preaching in the city of Jerusalem. And he's preaching to thousands of people, and the verse was up on the screen just a few minutes ago. They that gladly received his word, they that trusted in the Lord Jesus, came to faith in Christ, they that gladly received his word were baptized. Now, we're told there were about 3,000 people on that one occasion put their faith in Jesus Christ. 3,000 people were baptized. Now, I don't know who's doing the duking tonight, but imagine having to baptize 3,000 people. Acts chapter 8, Philip preaching to the Samaritans. We read, when they believed, they were baptized. The Ethiopian, when he believed, he was baptized. Acts chapter 10, the story of Cornelius. Acts chapter 16, the story of the Philippian jailer. The principle is, when they believed, they were baptized. That is the pattern in the Bible. Baptism is not an optional extra for a Christian. It is expected. It is a command of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you won't find something like infant baptism in the Bible. It is believers' baptism. People who have made that decision to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. How were people baptized in the Bible? Well, we just read about a baptism from Acts chapter 8. You know, Philip and the Ethiopian, they went down into the water. Philip baptized them, and then they came up out of the water. John the Baptist, he baptized, as you would guess from his name, he baptized a lot of people. He baptized people where there was much water. Why? Because he baptized them by immersion. That is, people go fully under the water and then are brought out of the water. The word itself means to dip. Or to immerse. There are two Greek verbs used in the New Testament. One is the word bapto, which means to dip or to immerse. It's used in the context of dyeing a garment. You would dip the garment completely in the dye. The second verb is baptizo, which is an intensified form of bapto. It means to dip completely. It's the Greek word used for drowning. Now, don't worry, Catherine, that is not going to happen this afternoon. But even the word itself points to the fact that baptism is by immersion. Another reason why it is by immersion is because of what baptism symbolizes. Baptism is simply a picture. It is a picture of the transformation that has taken place in a person's life when they have trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. When a person comes to faith in Christ, they are immersed into Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6 teaches us that. That person is immersed into the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So when Catherine trusted Jesus Christ, she died with Jesus Christ. Not physically, but she died to sin. She died to the controlling power of sin in her life. Her old life died, but at the same time, she was raised with Jesus, united in his resurrection, raised to walk in newness of life. And it is just a picture of the transformation that has taken place in Catherine's life when she trusted Jesus Christ. So you'll see her go down in under the water. She has died with Christ. And then you'll see her come up out of the water. She has been raised again with Jesus Christ to walk in newness of life. It is a picture of the transforming power of God to change a person's life. And so you're going to witness Catherine's baptism, and there is a challenge to each and every person here in this room from witnessing this baptism. There is a challenge to each one of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus and were maybe baptized a long time ago. There is a challenge to us. Are we living out the truth of our baptism? Are we truly walking in newness of life with Jesus Christ? There is a challenge to those believers here this afternoon who perhaps haven't been baptized. See, here is water. What prevents you from being baptized? You could be baptized this afternoon if you're a Christian here today and you're not baptized. What prevents you from being baptized? You're a living contradiction, really. You are in a state of disobedience. The Lord's primary first command, and you haven't done it. What's preventing you? Maybe it's ignorance. Maybe you've never appreciated the significance, the command of the Lord Jesus. Maybe it's pride. Maybe a number of years have passed since you became a Christian, and it's embarrassing for you. Maybe it's indifference, or maybe it's a rebellious spirit. What prevents you from being baptized? And then finally, Catherine's baptism is a challenge to those of you who may be here today and you have never trusted Jesus Christ. You have never known the transforming power of God in your life. So we'll witness Catherine's baptism. God bless you, Catherine. May God bless you and use you in your life as you live and serve God. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Kevin. Now, I'm going to sing another hymn, Amazing Grace. It's a slightly different version than this one. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. It's lovely words to this one. But there is a slight change to it as we go through. My chains are gone. I don't actually know the words unless I'm reading them. So I think we'll just remain seated whilst we sing this one. And then I'll tell you what's going to happen after that. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound.